Racism is the belief and practice that treats ethnically distinct groups as biologically and morally inferior. I would dare to suggest that it has its roots in the earliest forms of tribal organization. A clan or tribe operating together for mutual survival leads to conflicts with other tribes in the competition for food and choice territory. With brotherhood comes otherhood. With ethnic identity comes the risk of ethnocentrism. In claiming a special link with one segment of humanity, we implicitly set ourselves apart from the rest. At least historically, that's what's happened. That's not all that has to happen. One could also have an ethnic attachment and still be an internationalist. Tribal conflicts are not only with far-off strangers, but often with proximate competitors, as I just pointed out. Shakespeare gives us the Capulets and the Montagues. Real life gives us the Iroquois and Algonquin, the Hatfields and the McCoys, the Pakistanis and the Indians. In 1992, we witnessed horrible ethnic wars in the former Soviet Union, Yugoslavia, and various other parts of the world, often between people who were more alike than different. Rather than an idea of universal humanity, what we're facing here is a mentality of parochialism and territoriality. So people of the same stock can be ferociously set against each other. I don't want to say there's this ethnic mystique that people bond this way. In fact, there are terrible class, regional, religious, and cultural issues that come up, or just territorial issues. Louis Adolphe Thiers and his army were just as French as the revolutionary workers of the Paris Commune, whom they slaughtered and executed in great numbers in 1871. Class warfare. No common blood bond prevented the Anglo-Protestant factory owners from overworking and underpaying their Anglo-Protestant employees in England and the United States through much of the 19th century and into the 20th, for that matter. Chinese sweatshop owners in the United States did not hesitate to exploit Chinese immigrant labor. So what I'm saying is that while ethnic differences may cause conflict, ethnic similarity is no guarantee that just treatment and a sense of common humanity will obtain, given certain material and class conditions. I wouldn't argue that ethnic conflict is a dominant and inevitable human proclivity, but it exists as a powerful force. You might recall the words from the Rodgers and Hammerstein Broadway musical, South Pacific. They say, you've got to be, if I had more courage or a better voice, I would sing these lines, but I'll recite them. You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your sweet little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. Well, I'm saying something quite different. I'm saying actually the contrary, that you've got to be carefully taught not to hate and fear. Recent research indicates that just letting children be children doesn't always ensure the absence of prejudice. Sometimes it does under certain kinds of conditions, but it doesn't always, especially in a society that has so much of it to begin with. Children start to notice and react to sexual and racial differences and physical deviancies and disabilities at a rather early age. And researchers conclude that conscious effort and an affirming framework are often needed in multicultural situations. We also need a greater awareness of how ethnic cultural differences still obtain in this society. We all think we live in the same culture, but there are all sorts of subcultural differences in groups, sometimes even in one group. There are ethnic groups within ethnic groups. You can talk about African Americans, but African Americans includes American blacks who have a tradition that goes back 15 generations to slavery. It includes West Indians. It includes recent last couple of generations, people from Ghana and Nigeria, whatever else, and you go on that way. It's true of white ethnics too.